copyright forum of Christian leaders. The contents contained on this website are solely for your own individual, non-commercial, and informational use. Any other use is strictly prohibited without our express prior written consent. See the full copyright disclosure at focalonline.org.
So the topic is about the characteristic of a pioneer through Paul's eyes. And we will go through the Paul as a church planter. And that's fascinating me, to try to find out Paul as a church planter when he planted church. And one of the churches he planted was in, you can read about in Thessalonians and chapter 2. But before we go into that, I will tell you a little bit of my story. Because when I went on planting a church 23 years old, and after 3-4 years, I start to reflect on something. And I probably you have reflected on the same thing. That when you start to walk with some people, and you share your heart with them, and you talk with them, and suddenly after a while, you're finding them talking about some of the same thing that you have talked about, and having the heart for some of the same thing that you have the heart about. And I thought, after 3-4 years, I thought, hey, there is something about this value system in this growing church that is very similar to the value system in our own life as family, me, my wife. What have happened? And I think this is what we can learn when we go through Paul and look at his church planting in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Some times ago, I read through this letter 4-5 times, just ran through it, and tried to find out what is Paul doing here. And probably he was there not more than, I don't know, 10 weeks, 12 weeks in the place. And often when I have read this, I think Paul, as a church planter. But suddenly when I read the chapter 2, I found 18 times he say, we. And it was not Paul. It was Titus, Silvanus, and Paul planting the church together. And that's my first lesson of church planting. I believe to plant a church, there needs a Paul, a church planter, an eye, a strong eye with a calling, an understanding. But that strong eye need to have the capacity to build a we, us together, a we. And I see that in the church planting, Paul, well, he was Paul. But there was a strong we, Timothy and Silvanus. And together, they were planting the church. And one of the strong things where we see is this. In one of the verse 8, Paul talks about that we were not only giving you the gospel, but we gave you ourselves, giving you our own life. And I think this is a key question and a key topic in all kind of discipleship and also church planting. Because it's not an activity we do. It's relational. And the kingdom of God is relational kingdom. And Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, they came into people and they gave their life to them. And to be honest, without bonding, no bonding, no transfer. If there's no bonding, there's no transfer. And it's interesting, the language Paul uses, if you read through, he calls them brothers and sisters. And if you go through the chapter 2, he said, I was like a mother for you, caring. And later, I was like a father for you, encouraging, correcting, helping you in different ways. So it's spelled like family terms when he was planting the church. So he gave his life and he bonded with them. And in that bonding, something happened. There was a transfer of life from them as a community, the three of them, to the new believers, to the new people who's coming to faith. And I think this is a key issue. And if you don't bond with people, and I have that in my own home, we have sometimes a disease in the home. And when one gets sick, suddenly with four kids, two of the other, and then my neighbor kids get sick. And since we are very community church, sometimes you can see that 50% of the kids in the church are sick at the same time. Why? There's some virus going around. Why? Because we are close. There's bonding. There's closeness. And when there's closeness, there's transfer. And I think this is a key thing. The question is, what do we transfer? What do I transfer? What did Paul, Timothy, and Silvanus transfer? And here is some. 3 points and two more. Right after he said, I give you life for you. I give my life. I think he has learned that from Jesus. They have learned that from Jesus. He gave his life. He poured his life out. And sometimes we think we can do the shortcut, but we can't. He poured his life out for us. And Paul said, well, you know how we work among you in verse 9 and 10. Day and night, to not let be a burden for you. We gave our life to you, and we worked with a passion. And passion transfer. You know, there's a lot of leaders with no passion. And they are not creating anything around them. There's no transfer. Because passion in a life, leaders, church planters, need to lead and plant with passion. And you see it in Paul's life. It was passion. Passion for what he's doing. Passion for what he was into with the other. But there's another thing. And you know how we lived holy and righteous among you. If we put up shields and other things, there will be no transfer. Because we have to live in the light, transparency, open, honest with the people. I have just got some new people in the small group I'm part of. I'm not leading it, but I'm part of it. We are now 11 people. We started not so far ago. And I am pastor. I'm four kids. There's sometimes some troubles, to be honest. It's not always an easy life. And I share some of this also with the newcomers, new believers. And they think, oh, this pastor, he has also some challenges. But when I'm open, transparent, they just open up. Because our weaknesses is the bridge into the other people's life. Always. And so in that, we can ask God to come and strengthen us in the different ways. But Paul lived holy, open, transparent, in purity. And purity is spiritual in the way that people would smell if there's something wrong often, and they withdraw. Religion, where we try to perform, forget it, you don't transfer. But the life in purity, in openness and transparency, transfer. purpose. You can read Paul, Timothy, and so on. They had a purpose. They knew what they were doing. Jesus said, when he stood from Pilate, well, I know who I am and know where I'm going. I know my purpose. And Paul knew his purpose. And I think for a church planter and a leader, you need to know your purpose. Know why you're doing it. You have to answer the question, why am I doing this? What has God called me to? I interviewed 120 church planters in Norway, personally, in a doctor degree for a friend of me. And I could hear in the talk, 1.5 talk with each, quite a long time, it took me many weeks, but I could hear who were really called and who were not in the speaking. Someone have closed down the new church plant, someone had really succeeded, but the calling and purpose and the security in who they were and where they were going was important. And that transfer to know your purpose. And Paul knew who he was. So it's passion, purity, purpose, but another one, persistent. You know some leaders, I guess, that stand and have stood in the middle of all the fight, all the challenges, and you think, wow, there's something with them. And if you stand persistent, you can see Paul. Paul had a lot of opportunity to be discouraged, to go into self-pityness, to be hurted. He had a lot of possibility. But he stood. Why? I think I learned that lesson. He said, every day I put off. Every day I take up the cross. So my hurt is not mine. Jesus is yours. So my disappointment is not mine. Jesus is yours. So my self-pityness, oh, I like it, but it's not good. I give it to you, Jesus. To take up the cross is to take things that every day comes through and pass away and give it to him. That creates persistence. We're standing, not taking everything, but giving away. And stand in the middle of persecution, misunderstanding, everything. We stand. Why? Because Jesus is there. We are sent by him. He's in the midst of it. And this persistence transfers something to the people. Paul said sometimes, well, I'm in jail. That's okay. Because that creates a greater faith in the people outside. That when I see I'm persecuted, it just raises their faith. And when we as pioneers go for and standing in the middle of all the trails and difficulties, it creates followers. We transfer something. Paul did. But he also had power. He said in first chapter, verse 5, and that we don't only came with words, but with power. And the word came with power. And if you read Paul also in Acts, there were healing. There were miracles. And when we come, not only by word, but we, with the Holy Spirit, come with power, God is doing something through our life because we know the Holy Spirit. People around are kind of, what is this? And you transfer a life of Christ. If you're going to transfer something, you need to bond with people. But the question is, what do you have that you transfer? You need to be in Christ. And this is some of the thing. I see Paul as a church planter and Silvano Titus. If you read just that chapter, they had in their life. And they transferred. So if you question, often we look at all kind of outward things of people when we look at the characteristic of a church planters. And we look at different things. But I think this is the basic thing to look at. And all, the really thing is you look at the heart. Where are the person? And what? How have he proved his life and walk with Christ already? And that's some of the characteristics that you find in Paul's letter to 1 Thessalonians to describe the way he was planting the church. Not an I only, there's a needing I, but a we together giving our life to people we are serving, we are planting into. Because we have this in our life, we have passion. We live a life in purity, with purpose, and we are persistent, and we live it in the power of the Holy Spirit. This is a life of a pioneer that transfers something to the people around. So, we are the pioneers. I need to quit. This is a kind of side there. That's a little story from the 1 Thessalonians chapter 2.